Well, brother, thank you for that testimony. Praise the Lord for that. If you have a Bible with you, you can turn it to Exodus chapter 30. And we are going to go back to the laver today. Exodus 30, our text will be verses 17 through 21. Heavenly Father, just now we ask, Lord, that your word would go forth, Lord, and touch the hearts of folks today, Lord. In spite of my own words, let these be your words today, Lord. And we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Thou shalt also make a laver of brass, and his foot also of brass, to wash withal. Thou shalt put it between the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar. Thou shalt put water therein. For Aaron and his sons shall wash their hands and their feet thereat, when they go into the tabernacle of the congregation, that they wash with water, that they die not. But when they come near to the altar to minister to burn offering made by fire unto the Lord, so they shall wash their hands and their feet, that they die not. It shall be a statute forever to them, even to him and to his seed throughout their generations. When the Levitical priest came into the wilderness tabernacle courtyard, the first thing that he would see would be the brazen altar where the sacrifices were made, which was a type of Christ going to the cross. Down in the distance, there was the wilderness tabernacle that had the holy place and then the holiest of all, where the priest would minister, and then back in the holiest of all, where the high priest would go just one day a year in the Day of Atonement. But in between that, the brazen altar and the tabernacle, there was one very important piece of furniture. It was the laver. It would be the place where the priests would wash their hands and their feet before going in to do service into the tabernacle. The reason for that was purification before service in the tabernacle. It was mandatory. There were two statements made in the scriptures I just read, that they die not. Twice the Holy Spirit impresses upon their hearts, don't go in there with uncleanness on you. Clean up before you go in there. Entering the tabernacle without cleansing meant certain death. Now, what was the reason for the purification? The same problem that has haunted man since Adam and Eve were in the garden. Sin and a wicked heart. Now, I stood... Christine, can you bring my water, please? I stood by some of you folks today before service began, and some of you smelt pretty good. We all showered today, put on some deodorant, maybe some perfume, and really, standing next to most of you, you smelt pretty good. Not everybody, but most of you did. So, I could get a hold of your physical well-being, but I couldn't tell your heart. Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? The Lord knows your heart. Psalm 51:5, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. How about Jeremiah 13:23? Can the Ethiopian change his skin or the leopard his spots? Then you can do good, whereas you're accustomed to do evil. So if somebody's able to change their skin color, or the leopard says, I don't want any more spots on me, then you can be able to get a good, sinless, clean life. But I don't know if any of those two things have happened yet, you know, and I don't think they're going to happen. The position of the laver, being between the tabernacle and the brazen altar, it was there the priest could wash his hands and his feet before entering. Now, you're sitting in your seat right now, and you're probably saying, hey, preacher, What's that got to do with me? Get out of the Old Testament. See, Exodus 30 is one of those places we go to and we skip by it, right? You get your daily Bible reading and you're skipping by genealogies and all the instructions that Moses got up on the mount, and you're going by them, but there's so much there for us to learn. As Bible believers, the application that we make from the labor is of utmost importance. The Bible says, number one, that we are believer priests. 1 Peter 2:9 says we are a royal priesthood. Over in Exodus 28, Aaron and his descendants came to be priests through the blood, their blood, from generation to generation. You and I become priests through the new birth. Jesus says in John 3:3, ye must be born again to see the kingdom of God. But when you become saved, one of the things you become is a believer priest. You know what? The Old Testament priesthood, they were washed. Over in Exodus 29:4, before they started service, they washed them with physical water. They washed their bodies. We, as believer priests, have a spiritual washing. Over in Titus 3:5, the Bible says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration. When a person is born again, regeneration, they are washed by the Holy Spirit, puts us into that believer priesthood again. Wow, this wind's pretty strong today. But remember, after the wind comes that still, small voice. We're waiting on it, Lord. We're waiting on it. So the need for cleansing is illustrated over in John 13. You see, a lot of times, I've even heard some people preach, you know, John 13's got to do with us becoming servants, helping other people out, washing other people's feet. That may be a decent application if you want to use it at times. But what happens is, really, after the Passover meal, Jesus begins to wash the disciples' feet. Peter completely misses the point. Over in John 13, beginning in verse 4, he riseth from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poureth water into a basin, began to wash his disciples' feet, and wiped them with the towel that he was girded with. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, what I do not, thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus saith to him, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. See, Peter missed the point. You know how he did that? In verse 8, in verse 10, the word wash are two different Greek words. One, in verse 8, what Peter meant is to wash the whole body. Jesus meant just washing the hands and the feet. If you notice in verse 8, when Peter says, I'm going to be washed, Jesus says, you're not washed, using the word in verse 8, you have no part in me. If you're not saved, you have no part with me. But when he gets over to verse 10, he says, just your feet need to be washed. You need to clean yourself up now that you're a saved person to be right for Christian service. Hey, we're talking about revival today, right? So revival, we got to get right in our own heart. I heard somebody say years back that revival begins in each and every one of us, in our own heart. But how can we start revival by having a dirty old wicked heart? You know, I've heard many times through the years this easy believism stuff. I hear preachers say it all the time. All you got to do is just give your heart to Jesus. give that old wicked black heart to Jesus? You better get some cleaning up on that first. You got to go to the cross, get some blood on that heart. Then you get that old heart cleaned up, you get saved. Then God may be able to use that heart for the right thing. See, the unsaved person needs the whole cleansing, while the saved person just needs to clean the hands and feet, like the Levitical priest. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. All of it. You know, also the mirrors at the laver were a type of the Word of God. It's not in the scripture we have, but over in Leviticus, Exodus 38:8, Bible says this, He made the laver of brass and the foot of it of brass of the looking glasses of the women. Okay, those were mirrors. When the priest would be washing his hands and his feet, he'd look in the mirror. You know what the mirror was? It was a type of the Word of God. When we look into the Word of God, the Bible tells us all about us, right? Hebrews 4:12 says, For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and the marrows, the discerning of thoughts and intents of the heart. Bible goes right in there. I always like to say, you know, when you're out evangelizing and giving out tracts, this is how powerful the Word of God is. When you're talking to someone about the Lord and they don't want to hear it, you just leave them a Bible tract. You let them take the Word of God, let them read it. It's like you taking the sword and you're stabbing them with it and you're going to let them bleed out. Just walk off and let that old Word of God do its work right in their heart. Instead of you trying to twist their arm, let the Word of God do it. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17 also say, All scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, for teaching, for reproof. The Bible tells you when you're wrong, for correction. It tells you how to get it right, and it equips you for the ministry. Says that the man of God may be perfect or complete, right? Thoroughly furnished or equipped unto all good works. Nothing wrong with having commentaries. Nothing wrong with having a Greek lexicon or a Strong's Exhaustive Concordance, friends. But if you're going to be in the ministry, the only book you need is God's Holy Word. That's it. You don't need all these other volumes. Matter of fact, my wife, I called up a preacher down in Georgia just a few days back. He runs a ministry that takes all books and he gives them to new preachers. And I said, I got books to send you, Brett. I'm cleaning out books. So I package up some books and me and him were on the phone. My wife says, that guy talks more than you. And he was off to a camp meeting down in Watkinsville, Georgia. I said, I couldn't get a word edgewise with that preacher. Man, he was going on. Now, while the brass at the brazen altar, that first piece of furniture you see when you go in the courtyard, speaks of judgment, the judgment of sin, the brazen laver, the brass and the brazen laver, speaks of self-judgment. You see, when we do the Lord's Supper, what do? We look back to the cross, we look forward to the Lord's return, but even more importantly, we look inwardly to ourselves, right? Got to make sure that everything is good. We don't take the Lord's Supper with sin on us. It says people get sick because of that, and people die because of that. 1 Corinthians 11:28 says, But let a man examine himself. If you want to get right for revival, folks, then we better get examining ourselves. We need to go back to the laver. We need to go to God and say, Lord, I got some sin that needs to be confessed. I don't care who you are. You could be D.L. Moody, Charles Spurgeon, Sam Jones, name them, Bob Jones Sr. If you got unconfessed sin on you, God is not going to use you. Fellowship is broken. Your heart needs to be cleaned up. You need to work on it. Get that squared away. You know what happens when we don't judge ourselves? 1 Corinthians 11:31, For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. In other words, friends, if we don't judge ourselves, God is going to do the judging for us. And you can go down to Hebrews chapter 12, read verses 5 through 11, and you're going to find out how unpleasant chastisement from the Lord can be. We don't want that. Now, once we are cleansed, you know, the last brother said he was worried about the time, and I know Pastor Gene was worried about the time. I don't worry so much about the time. Yes, ask Pastor James, he says that. But I am. But I just started feeling something going in this place from the preaching this morning. So when God gets into it, right, we just keep going a little bit more. But once we are cleansed, once we're cleansed on that laver, you know, the laver, our laver is 1 John 1:9. Our Baptist confessional, any of you folks that were Roman Catholics growing up, our Baptist confessional is 1 John 1:9, and it's also the laver that we go to. Once we are cleansed, we are ready as believer priests to worship and serve the Lord. We as believer priests, we have a big privilege that the Old Testament Jewish folks didn't have. We have access to God at any time. They didn't have that. We do. Hebrews chapter 10, starting in verse 19, Bible says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Think about this for a minute. Enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. That was something you would have gotten the death penalty for back in the Old Testament. But we as believer priests have that privilege. Having therefore, by a new and living way, verse 20, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say his flesh. Not the cloth veil that they all wove together, but rather Jesus Christ's own flesh gives us that privilege to go to him. Having a high priest over the house of God, not Aaron, but Jesus Christ. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Friends, over in Psalm 24, verses 3 through 5, the Bible says this. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? Here's a qualification, so write these down. He that hath clean hands. You got clean hands? Everybody's got clean hands here? Yeah. You better check in the heart. Who hath a pure heart? Well, the Bible says everyone has a wicked heart. Who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity. How much time you spend in the mirror this morning? Who hath not sworn deceitfully. When was the last time you told somebody a little bit of an untruth? Oh, it was only a white lie. It was a half-truth. No, a half-truth is just a full lie. That's all it is. It's all the same. The only way you're going to be able to stand in the presence of God to serve him, to worship him, is through the blood. Because your hands are dirty, your heart's unclean and wicked, and only by going to the blood can you do it. Friends, 47 years ago, and I think the last brother brought it out. It's a statement he made. 47 years ago, I got saved in Charleston, South Carolina. I always like to tell folks, see, I was born in Rhode Island, but I got born again in Charleston, South Carolina. That kind of makes me like a half Yankee, half Johnny Reb. So, same thing. A friend of mine said to me one day, he said, hey, Rick, if you were going to die today, do you know where you'd go? And I said, well, I'm a good Roman Catholic. And I found out from that point on, from those guys witnessing to me, that I was a wicked, lost, hell-bound sinner. And I learned that Jesus Christ went to the cross for me, paid my sin debt in full at Calvary. I asked him to save me, and from that time on, July of 1979, I got Jesus Christ in my heart. He saved me. I was given a King James Bible. From that day forth, I was preached the Word of God. And God called me to preach. God called me to teach. But guess what? I still have to go to the labor every day. Because even though I'm saved, I'm still just a sinner saved by grace. Hey, friends, how about you folks out there that are saved today? Anybody out here backslidden? Anybody out here falling behind? Anybody letting that sin take over in their lives? Anybody get caught in one of those addictions that got them running in a gerbil wheel? Trying to get right with God? You come to church on Sunday, the suit and tie are on. You got your perfume on. Everything smells good. You look good. Your haircut's nice and close cropped. And you look nice to all the folks out there. But somewhere in your heart, as a saved person, you're harboring unconfessed sin. And you are a great, great person at hiding it all. You got the mask on. Everybody thinks you're the greatest Christian since, who knows? But God knows better than that. Friends, before you leave here today, would you get that right with God? Would you do that? Whether you're saved, if you're not saved, you got to get saved before you leave here. If you're saved, Christian, don't pull the rest of us down on revival today because you're harboring sin in your heart. Get rid of it. Let's get it right now. Get it right today, May 16th, 2026. Let this day be the day, Christian, that you can put away that sin. You got things right with God, and you said, God, use me. I will guarantee you that starting tomorrow, starting sometime today, God will use you. We got to pray for some food over here in case anybody's belly's been rumbling. Why don't we do this? Why don't we close out in prayer? And then I guess we'll have lunchtime, Pastor James. So let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord. Thank you for this time of fellowship this morning. All these great preachers that have come before, all the messages we've heard, it's time to have a little physical sustenance now. Lord, I ask before we do that, I ask your Holy Spirit just work in the hearts of people here now, here today, Lord. If there's somebody here struggling with an addiction, maybe there's something he's put in his life ahead of you, God. Maybe there's something there. Maybe he's put sports ahead of you. Maybe he's put or she's put their job ahead of you. Maybe there's something else that's grappling with them. Maybe they've been drinking when they're not supposed to be. Nobody knows about it. Maybe they're messed up with pornography or gambling. Or there's something else that they're struggling with today, Lord. Lord, I'd ask your Holy Spirit would just write it upon their hearts that even now, Lord, they come to the old-fashioned mourner's bench right up here and get these things right with God. Even now, Lord. Lord, you know the heart. We'll turn this time now over to you. Lord, bless this food as well. And we just ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Praise God. Praise the Lord.